Alright, we're back to another episode of Toonami Therapy, where this time we'll be going over the stuff that aired on January 13th and 14th on Toonami. Do you want to just skip right into it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we usually do anyway, so not sure why I had to ask. So, we got episode 46 of Dragon Ball Super, the big climax of this... I was going to say arc, but how long has this arc even been?
Yeah, really. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, was this even an arc? What was it? It was like an intermission, more or less.
Yeah, pretty much. It's let me see. I feel like it was four, but let me see. Let's find out, because I always have to find this stuff out. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. Oh no, this was three episodes, so I overcounted a little. All right, so this existential threat to the universe that could take over everything is finished up with in three episodes. Man, they don't make existential threats to the universe like they used to. It used to be that you would have to go through like 100 episodes to take care of something that was just a threat to the Earth.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so Goku has showed up and he fights the copy of Vegeta. For some reason doesn't go immediately into Super Saiyan. I'm not sure why. I guess
there's a habit of that happening. Never want to just get into it.
Yeah, well, what I liked about the previous tournament arc was there was actually a reason given for that you didn't want to use up all your strength on the current fight and wanted to save it for the next one. But there's no reason for that here.
Right.
Anyway, there's some funny stuff where Vegeta is actually getting annoyed at both of them for not for fighting sloppily. I mean, like, the clone Vegeta and Goku.
Right.
So basically, to try to weaken the clone Vegeta, they have to go after the sort of core, I can't even remember his name, the guy who like unleashed the evil water stuff. So they end up Goten and Trunks go after that and fight against it, and then Monaka basically kind of accidentally finishes it off.
And there's
a hilarious part there where they're all being chased by the water thing, and they're running away, and then Jocko trips or something, and then and he's like, it's gonna absorb me, and then it just goes past him because he's not strong enough, and he gets really upset about it. Anyway, due to that, there's they're able to, weaken it and ultimately defeat Copy Vegeta, and thus this existential threat to the universe is finished off in three episodes. Actually, more like two, because I don't think it showed up until the end of the first one.
Yeah. And now there was a preview of the arc to come, which... has something to do with Trunks.
Yeah, the future Trunks that we saw. Something bad is happening. I guess
he's going back to his future. So back to the future.
Yeah. Oh, also, there wasn't really much of this. This was here basically just to be a joke, but the guy tells Vegeta, like the alien guy who's on their side, that like if he puts this thing in his mouth, it'll make it so that he'll stay around longer, which is basically this pacifier. So you see Vegeta just having it in his mouth, and it's at the end it's revealed he didn't even know what pacifiers were, and when he finds out, he announces that he would have rather die than do that at once he knew. Okay. So, yeah, next is, this is counted as part of, the previous tournament arc, essentially, so it's a mini arc, arc between arcs, you pick up your own name. So, next up, we have Dragon Ball Z Kai, episode 145. So Gotenks does a bunch of fighting against Boo and is still not able to do so well until he finally comes up with the kamikaze ghost attack, or what was it called? Was that the name of it? I feel like it was something. Ghost kamikaze attack, super, something like that. Which basically involves making these sort of ghost versions of himself that then, like, will attack and explode him at him. And he's actually able to do it with the first, and it's great because then he, you know, has to make some more, you know, to try to finish Boo off after Boo gets really damaged by it. And I just think it's funny because he takes a bunch of time, and Piccolo's like, he's back to normal now. while he's doing that. So then they end up managing to get to Boo anyway, in showing actually some level of strategy. I did like the part where the strategy is to get the ghost to just pretend to act like they're distracted by something. So when Boo just goes over to try to figure out what it is, they all just grab a hold of him and blast. And so they're apparently able to defeat him this way. So they try to destroy all the remnant stuff, but then he comes back again. And such. And, and then, because Gotenks decides that he has to, like, I don't know, scare Piccolo for some reason. No, seriously, why is Gotenks such an idiot in regards to, like, showing off and stuff? Because neither Trunks nor Goten are really like that.
Right, yeah. His personality completely changes. I mean, you could argue maybe Trunks is a little like that, but I don't know what makes him so cocky.
I would agree that Trunks is a bit like that, but Gotenks is even more so, and Goten is less so than Trunks. So if they fuse, shouldn't it be sort of between the two rather than just being dramatically increased? Well, anyway, so he, like, has some special move or something he wants to do, but he decides to sort of feign like he doesn't have it. So Piccolo just destroys the thing connecting the hyperbolic time chamber with the outside world to trap Boo, well, along with them, in there permanently. So, yeah.
Yeah, so now they're done.
Yep.
They're dead.
Yeah, they'll just, like, you know, Boo will just kill them, and then they'll just be wished back to life with the Dragon Balls. Yeah, I thought that was a kind of cool way to take Boo out, personally. I mean, it does make you wonder why we spent all that time with Gohan and stuff, if, you know, this was going to be the end. But, oh, of course, it's not the end. There's going to be something more. There's a lot more episodes.
Yeah, I'm not that lucky.
I want there to be, like, something where they defeat the villain. I mean, obviously no one would ever do this because no one's going to put all this kind of, no one's ever going to do this, but, like, you know, with, like, 10 episodes left, they, like, just defeat the final villain, and then the last 10 episodes are just them partying about it. And that's it. And I know that no one would ever, like, do that because it would be such a waste of, you know, time and money to animate it, and, well, then again, they did make Endless 8, so. But that was 8 episodes. I don't think they'd go for 10.
I saw someone just this week complaining about Endless 8. It was like, man, this argument is almost 10 years old.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, one other comment I wanted to mention on this. I actually did kind of appreciate this. So when the first ghost hits Boo, there's, of course, like, all, like, the smoke and stuff. And then it subverts expectations. The smoke disappears and Boo is damaged. Every single time previously, there's a big explosion and everyone waits for the smoke to clear. The enemy is completely fine, but he actually took damage from that. Such a nice change from the norm. All right. Let's see, okay, I guess we'll just then move on to Black Clover. So, let's see, and there's a really weird thing where they have, like, the recap, and then at like comes back after the recap, and then it shows some stuff that was from the end of the previous episode, which just made me think, wait, I thought this happened at the end of the episode. Shouldn't this be part of the recap? It just left me kind of confused. But anyway, so everyone goes through this, it's the Magic Knight captains are going to choose the people they want, and, well, basically, it's just the voice, essentially, in how they do it. You know, they, any number of them say whether they want someone, and then, you know, the person can choose whichever, you know, that was, whoever, like, rose their hands for it. Like, yeah, basically, it's just what they do on The Voice, except without, you know, the turning around of the chairs or the singing. So, Yuno goes up, and every single Magic Knight captain wants him on their squad. He just goes with the Golden Dawn. And then Asta goes up.
You're right. Never mind. I'm sorry. I was thinking. I keep confusing these two characters. Their names. So, sorry about that. Go ahead.
So then Asta goes up, and no one raises their hand. But, you know, of course, he ends up getting into one anyway because Yami, the guy in charge, one of them, the guy in charge of the Black Bulls, basically, you know, kind of relents and lets him in after, you know, sort of a confrontation between the two where he's like saying, well, everyone, yeah, I can't really explain it well, but I thought that moment was actually kind of decent.
Go ahead.
So then they do that, and then because there's still a bunch of the episode left, there's comedy as Asta has to run to the bathroom because he has to go really badly, and then that guy who he beat in the fight is like wants to get revenge on him, and I can't remember exactly what he was planning to do, but you know shows up and then stops him, and yeah. And just random funny thing. So the guy, his name's Seke, that was it. So he like complains about how Asta, like, you know, beating him like that made it so that he didn't get on one of the better squads and ended up with the like the Green Mantises. And I was just now that I think about it, that's literally the squad with the absolute least development so far in the series. Like I'm up to the present with the manga. I don't know a single thing about them. So he of course got into basically, I guess, the Black Clover version of Hufflepuff? I don't know. But anyway, so then, you know, Asta goes with Yami over to the Black Bulls headquarters, and then there's this big explosion thing as he tries to enter it.
Yeah, well, this episode was fairly predictable because I called it the whole way. I was like, okay, he's going to get everyone to raise their hand, and he's going to get no one to raise their hand, and it happened exactly the way I predicted it. And so that guy who joined the Praying Mantises, he reminded me a lot of that one guy from Hunter x Hunter whose name I forget, the guy who gives people the juice to try to ruin.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about, and oh, now Tompa. I'm annoyed I can't remember his name. Let me see if I can look it up.
No, it's Tonpa.
Tonpa.
Yeah, that's what he reminded me of. So I love that character. that was pretty good back then. But anyway, yeah, so this episode was okay, I guess. Just a little too predictable, but that's the way they've all been so far. So
yeah, that was a big problem for me. It ultimately is predictable. Of course, you know, you just know Yuno's going to be like the star pupil that everyone wants, and that Asta's not going to be, but he's going to get into the sort of, you know, black sheep squad, the Black Bulls and such. Although Yami did have a bunch of funny lines. I like the part where Finral, he's like the portal guy. He's like opening it, the portal, and he's just like saying, guys, can you just go through it? It takes some effort to keep this open. I was just like, hey, surpass your limits. That was a funny bit. But yeah, other than that, mostly the same general stuff.
Yeah. Wasn't there a character in Bleach named Yami?
Yami, he was the 10th Espada, who turned out to be the 0th Espada and was the strongest of all of them, except then he was defeated off-panel. The numbering is weird. So he's like the strongest one, which was kind of pointless narratively because he just gets beaten off-panel. And then the number one Espada, the most powerful, well, the second most, I guess, with that, gets defeated by, what's his name? I can't even remember it. It's been so long. The guy with the sort of lazy guy with the hat.
Shunshui.
That's it. And, like, Shunshui doesn't even need to use his Bankai and just wipes the floor with him. Like, that was just like, man, so much build-up and just nothing. I mean, like Barragan, the number two, he was like pretty, he was just completely broken. It just has to be beaten by hacks, essentially. Why wasn't he number one? All right. Okay. So we done with Black Clover?
Yeah.
Okay. So we move on to Stardust Crusaders episode 20. So, Kakyoin starts, paying more attention to the baby and notices it kill a scorpion. But then when he tries to convince the others, you know, that the baby isn't normal, well, you know, it's managed to hide the scorpion and stuff. And Kakyoin just kind of comes across, despite the fact that he's right, he does come across as really deranged in doing so. I did wonder when he saw the baby stand, like, you know, written into his arm in the first place. I was just wondering, why doesn't he tell someone about this right now? Why does he wait and only show it when they're wondering about his sanity? Anyway, so he, unleashes the stand and is about to attack the kid, but then Polnareff just knocks him out. And so everyone goes back to sleep, and of course, the baby, Manish Boy is his name, I think. I don't know if that was ever, I don't think that was ever said in the episode, but, so he attacks him, but luckily Kakyoin had his stand out when he fell asleep, you know, when he was knocked out, so he's able to use it to defeat, him, and thus, everyone wakes up, and, let's see. Except Kakyoin's the only one who remembers the thing because he had his standout. But then, you know, just asks him everyone. But then, like, because he got in the dream, the sort of, like, writing on his arm to be erased, he doesn't have any in the real world, so everyone's just like, oh, maybe we just imagined all that. And so then there's that. Says, I'm not going to kill you because you're just a baby. But then but you'd better not come near us again. And then he takes some of the baby's poop and then just mixes it in with the food that that Joseph made. Kind of as some revenge, which honestly, I actually did find that kind of funny. It is very rare for that kind of joke to work for me, but I did think the way it was done was actually funny.
Yeah, I didn't like it too much. And I didn't really understand what he punishing the baby for when the stand that was controlling the baby is dead now anyway. So.
Oh, no. The stand wasn't controlling the baby. The baby was controlling the stand. I mean,
So why are they keeping the baby around if...
Well, if, the other guys don't know about that because only Kakyoin remembers... the thing, and he's just chooses not to kill it because it's, even if it's apparently some super genius evil baby, it's still just a baby, so he's gonna let it live as long as it doesn't come after them again.
Well, what guarantees do you have that it's not gonna come after them, you know?
I mean, I guess I Well, I guess because then, because otherwise, Kakyoin might feed it more of its own feces. But really, it is just a baby. How would it get there? You know, that was actually something I saw a bunch of people mention on a line. What was the baby's plan for after it killed all of them? What's it going to do? It's just in the middle of nowhere, and even assuming, you know, even though it's obviously hyper intelligent, it's still physically just a baby. How is it going to get out of there?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it ends with Joseph he's bringing them to meet someone on some island in sort of a detour, and he says that he didn't mention it for important yet until now for important reasons, which makes me think, you know, you nearly died a lot of times on the way. What would have happened if you died? Like, you who would have, how would they have known to do this? So but some of the stuff, some of those like kind of questions, I thought this was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode too. I didn't really have any problems with it, although the poop jokes I found were just kind of dull. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, well, I almost never liked that kind of humor, but I actually do think it was legitimately funny here. Although for some reason, Adult Swim pixelated out the poop, which was just really weird. I thought, it's just like, really? You're pixelating it out? Is that really something you have to censor?
Are you sure it wasn't censored in the original version?
It wasn't. I actually looked.
You did?
Okay. Okay, so just, I might as well say, I was kind of interested in, I actually watched this before it aired on Adult Swim, because I just kind of was interested in the Stan's concept and wanted to see it ahead of time. So yeah, I even double checked. It was not censored there, so... That just kind of struck me as a little weird.
Yeah, that is odd.
Yeah. Okay. So, we'll move on and hopefully not have to say the word poop for the rest of this podcast. Like, we said it so many more times than ever, I think, because of that. But, so we got, so... We're on to Iron-Blooded Orphans, episode 36. So the mobile armors have awakened because is wreaking havoc. So they have to. So they come up with a plan to, you know, try to stop it and trap it and beat it and stuff. But it doesn't. But it ends up not working quite right because the idiot who got them awakening in the first place decides to just attack the thing for no good reason and thus disrupt the whole plan. And he's still alive, so it just kind of makes you think, you're an idiot, why aren't you dead? But anyway, that was the main thing, that they're that it's, you know, attacking some nearby places and they're trying to defend against it, but due to that and, you know, also just it being strong itself, they're trying to stop it, but it's, you know, managed to actually already start causing some damages and destroying some of the agricultural plant. It was, yeah, that's like the main stuff that really just happened. I mean, there wasn't really that much to, like, recap, but I thought it was still a decent episode.
It wasn't bad. I had something to say about Kudelia, but now I forget. She was, like, pretending to be all brave and risk her life, but it was like, you know, I don't know, it just seemed like her refusing to go to a shelter isn't going to really save that many people's lives in reality. I mean, she maybe saved one person's life because there would be one less person who could get in. I mean, that's all I took away from that. I didn't understand why she was acting like she was such a big hero.
Well, but yeah, it was literally that. It was just like, I won't go because that would mean someone else would, because that would mean one other person could evacuate also. And I was just kind of thinking, yeah, but that would mean you, but that just would be saving one person at the potential expense of your own life. So,
Yeah, one person. And it was like kind of being done for like political reasons too. It wasn't like she was like doing it because she really loved someone who she wanted to save. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't get that, but it wasn't a bad episode, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
I mean, the action was decent. There were very few politics. That's always a good thing.
And there's very few poop jokes.
All right. Yeah, it's funny. It's because, well, we had some of that in Black Clover and then JoJo. And it wasn't in the episode, but maybe they changed it. But I remember, you know how they always have the, like, sort of brief clips of the show, you know, when they go to commercial and come back? This is skipping ahead, but for Naruto, for some reason, the ones they picked was Naruto rushing to the bathroom because he had to go really bad. That's, like, literally the one they picked for that. I mean, it's been like that for the last few weeks, but I guess that means there's a third one that kind of had the potty humor. Yeah. So there's that. I guess we'll get to Hunter x Hunter episode 79.
Yeah, so this episode they have to get in Kite, Killua, and Gon, and the other people who've come along. They're all going to try to get into NGL, which is that weird country that doesn't allow any sort of anything in the, not even allowed to have glasses. You're not allowed to have anything. So basically a bunch of them have to quit, and Gon and Killua and Kite get through, and I think a couple others do too. And then you've got this side plot, which is like really pointless, with that girl Ponzu, I think her name is, and those other hunters, and they are for some reason doing something with the ants, and it's like a really pointless subplot, especially once you see how it ends. And then you've got the ants who, now they have names. So, you know, it was like a big deal for them to get names. Well, now they've got names. So now they've got guns. And it's like, how did guns get in? Well, that's one of the big mysteries, I guess, how guns were able to make it into NGL. And the one guy who has them is a koala ant, and it's a pink koala, and he's a gangster. And it was funny, I was reading, he's actually, like, people speculated he's actually like the reincarnation of a character from an anime that I've never seen before, but I've heard of, called Kadekayo Hitman Reborn. And
I've heard of that. I have never seen it, though.
Yeah, supposedly that's who the koala is. He's the reincarnation of the character, of that character, certain character in there. I'm not sure which one, but koala hangs around for quite a while, so don't think he's just another throwaway ant. So there you have it. It was there. I mean, if you really think about it, we could bring up our usual phrase that not much happened, but we're closer to some real conflict happening, which is good. So it wasn't. It was all right episode.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. I mean, I guess they did go into the country, but yeah, that was mostly it. And I mean, I guess there was a little more development on some of the individual Chimera ants, but yeah, a lot of it was devoted to a subplot that I don't think really goes anywhere. So
right, yeah, it's I mentioned it was like a certain subplot in the new Star Wars movie that a lot of people complained about. It just was. I'm not sure if you've seen that yet, but have you seen it?
No. I kind of okay. There were enough. I kind of heard enough mixed things about it that I was like, yeah, I'll just catch it later.
Yeah, yeah, it's not really worth it. So, okay, well, that's all for Hunter Hunter.
Okay, so Lupin the Third, episode 25. We are nearing the end. So, after having not showing up or I think even being mentioned in the previous four episodes, Leonardo, you know, like the clone version of Leonardo da Vinci, shows up. And he uses the, and he is able to make everyone in Italy fall unconscious. All the deaths caused by traffic accidents are not shown in this series. And he's able to put them all in sort of a dream thing, like that big dream of Italy thing we saw before. And he basically says that, like, you know, everyone has to prove that they're better than him in something or other in order to, you know, get out of it. And anyone else gets replaced by just a clone, a copy of himself, because he, you know, considers himself so great. Anyway, of course, like, the main characters are able to handle that. Like, Lupin's able to outsmart him by realizing the whole thing is a dream. Zenigat is able to, you know, capture him, Goemon beats him in a sword fight, and Jigen, you know, is just able to beat him with guns. So that, so of course, the main characters are all okay. What a coincidence!
Fujiko beats him in a game of poker.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, by cheating, of course.
Yeah.
So Lupin, you know, gets out of that, but then he finds out that Rebecca didn't pass the thing, so she's, like, going to be taken control of by him. So he, uses the guy's machine thing that he was using to do that to get into her mind to sort of fight him out of it, and that's where the episode ends.
Yeah, I thought this was weird. I don't like any of the Leonardo episodes. I just, I don't know. This isn't what Lupin is best at. Lupin's best at, the humor, and accent, and this stuff just didn't really, I don't know. I just didn't really like it that much.
Yeah, I mean, I think I enjoyed it, but it definitely did feel a little weird, like different from a lot of the norm. And also, I'm just kind of left thinking there's only one episode left. I just really don't see how they can get a conclusion out of this and not have it feel rushed if they've just got one episode left to do it all. But I mean, I didn't dislike it. I got some enjoyment out of it. It just does leave me worried as to whether they'll be able to pull off a good conclusion for the series with just one episode left.
Yeah, I don't know what happens, but I kind of predict. It's just a prediction, so this is not a spoiler. But my prediction is that Rebecca either goes away or dies or something, that she's kind of taken out, because there's a Lupin the Third Part 5 coming out, I heard. So my prediction is that she won't be around for that.
Yeah, I know she was created for this part. She wasn't in the previous one. So that's likely to happen, but I don't know, maybe she's like sort of part of the universe now and will make some appearances, or maybe she won't. I have no idea. I don't know anything about the part 5, and I don't know anything about the next episode. So I guess we'll see when it comes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Naruto Shippuden, episode 186. I'm 100 or 187. That's weird. I thought it was 187, but the wiki is saying it's 186. Oh, I think this is 187, and this and the page for it is just incorrect on this. But or maybe, but well, whatever it is, it's called it's called Ah, the Medicine of Youth. It's another filler episode. I already spent too much time on it, honestly. But okay, fine. They have to go on an adventure to do a mission and get some stuff because Naruto accidentally drank something of Rock Lee's and you know needed to get the replacement stuff for it. And that's the episode essentially.
You know, I found this episode kind of funny. It was ridiculous and it was filler, but I kind of did find some of the stuff funny about it, like how Naruto decides he's going to dress up like Rock Lee for like no real reason at all. He's just going to dress up like him, and Ino and Sakura, of course, their usual arguing, and they have to be on the same team for some reason. And of course, Naruto runs in and starts talking to Guy, and he starts telling him about the flowers. And Naruto's like, "Great, I'm just gonna go get them." And he just takes off. He's like, "Wait, Naruto!" And so, I thought there's some pretty funny things about it. I thought it was pretty good for a filler episode.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It did have some funny things. It's just, I just feel like I don't really have much to say about these things. Because they're all filler, they're all flashback filler at that. So, just doesn't really feel like there's much point in talking too much about it. It just kind of was stuff that happened, alright, that was an episode, move on to the next one. Alright. Now, Outlaw Star episode 17. So, we get back to the plot, sort of, in that, I can never remember, Ron McDougal. That was the other of the McDougal brothers that Gene didn't meet yet. So he contacts Gene and gets him to meet, him, and, you know, he's like, "All right, I want your ship and I want Melfina," and, Gene's like, "No," and then, of course, they get into this, big fight that's kind of cool, but the whole thing was really just a decoy so that his brother could go and do that, and then to kidnap her and steal the ship, and which he is almost successful at doing, but is able to be repelled and stuff, and yeah.
So you didn't like this episode that much?
I didn't dislike it. I'm looking at it, and I'm just having trouble really saying too much about it.
Yeah.
I will.
It was a little creepy, those parts with Melfina, you know, that guy trying to, that was just a little creepy.
Yeah, that was one thing to mention. I did appreciate the fact that Melfina does drive him off at the end, because throughout so much of the episode I'm like, she's just being completely helpless, have her do something against him, and then she did at the end, so I'm like, okay, that thumbs up for that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there's that. I just didn't really have too much to say because the plot was relatively simple, so
yeah.
Okay, and I wasn't able to see Ghost in the Shell because all the on-demand stuff is all weird, and I tried to see if I could get a DVR, but I don't think my thing's set up for that. I got this really weird thing because I've got this kind of old DVD VCR player and this sort of cable box thing, except I don't think the cable box itself is able to record stuff, or at least when I tried to set it up, it wouldn't. I mean, I think it's possible to set it to record to a VCR, but the way the things are set, it's set up, I don't think the VCR can record stuff. It's really complicated it's weird technical stuff, and I don't think I can do that. So we might, unfortunately, have to sort of pass on doing Ghost in the Shell from now on, unless they, like, fix right. things.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, maybe yeah. I'll, like, just towards the end, like, say, okay, give me a month of Hulu, and then just, like, marathon the whole thing that way. But at least for now, we might have, it seems like we're not going to really be able to say anything about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I guess that's it, and I suddenly realized I went into this without having thought of what I wanted my top three shows to be. So, did you already come up with that yet?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Hunter Hunter first, JoJo second, and Outlaw Star third.
Okay, I've got two of them. I'm just trying to decide what want the third to be and where I want to put it. Okay. This is sort of thought up on the spot, but I think I'm going to go with JoJo in first, Outlaw Star in second, and Black Clover in third.
Okay.
I don't know, just too much of, like, stuff not really happening in Hunter x Hunter for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was kind of having some trouble deciding about the Dragon Ball, so I'm just like, okay, Black Clover, third place. There we go. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I guess we've got, all of that then. Yeah. Did you have anything to talk about?
You know, I was going to talk about something, but I forget what it was. I can throw it out there that I am reviewing several new series on my blog, which... If you're hearing this, you probably know already, but I'm reviewing the final season of The Familiar Zero. And the reason I know it's the final season is because the creator of that series actually died. So there's not going to be any more. There's not going to be anything more. I'm reviewing that tomorrow. I'm reviewing Samurai 7, which is like... right now, it seems the lot smell like Samurai Champloo to me. And also reviewing His and Her Circumstances, a very old anime, like really old, and by Gainax, which means it's got all the Evangelion, like so much stuff from Evangelion in it. And which reminds me, this is actually the 10th anniversary of the year I watched Evangelion for the first time, coming up in February. Mm. So it's hard to believe it's been that long. Like, I just wonder if I know they have the movies, and I'm still yet to watch the third movie. I have it, but I just wonder how well the original series holds up today. Like, I'm sure the dub acting doesn't hold up very well. But I don't know. Yeah, so I just rambled on for about 5 minutes there. I didn't really have anything of substance to say, no. So it's your turn.
No, that's fine. Yeah, His and Her Circumstances, or Akari Kano. I never saw the anime. I did read the manga it was based on, though.
Yeah, I have one of those big omnibuses of the manga, but I haven't touched it yet. I'm waiting to see the anime first, okay. Then read it.
Yeah, because the anime stops midway through. There's a lot of stuff in the manga that like was never in the anime due to, you know, it not covering the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's been so long since I Reddit, I have forgotten a lot of things. I remember there's some of the stuff later on that I thought was kind of boring, but I did like. I think I thought the ending was good. Yeah. So there's that. Yeah, you were saying that Samurai 7 was like Samurai Champloo, and it's funny because they're both samurai. And then the next word starts with a sound.
Yeah, I it's weird how much it's like Samurai Champloo, because even though it's like a completely different style, okay? It's like this is like serious stuff. But at the same time, you've got, it's all about samurai doing the impossible. That's pretty much the entire show is samurai doing things that not even Superman could do. And that's pretty much all it is. And like the actual plot, which is supposed to be that this girl and her sister and another guy are trying to get samurai to come to their village and protect them. Well, that's like just a little side thing compared to all this other stuff. That's just like, okay, you're gonna, I'll give you 5 shots with this arrow, and you shoot me with the arrow. If you know, if you hit me, then I die. But if you don't hit me, then I win the bet and I get something off you. And of course, you know, he fires an arrow at him from point blank range, and of course he's able to stop it, but then he doesn't pay up on the bet anyway. So I don't know. It's, I like Samurai Champloo a lot better because it had a humor aspect to it, and this just doesn't have that to it. Yeah. So
it's yeah, did you know that it's basically that it's based on the like the movie Seven Samurai?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Know that, but I've never seen that movie or know what it's about, so I'm not really sure.
I don't know how much liberty it takes. Well, I mean, obviously it takes a lot because this is a science fiction setting, whereas that one,
right,
was in like, it took place like in the 16th century. But the basic plot of some farmers trying to get like 7 samurai to help fight against bandits. I know that was in the movie, and that's like, you know, the same premise here. I don't think they had any robot samurai in that movie, though.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Okay, so let's see, some stuff to talk about. I did Adult Swim was offering one of those sort of what are they called? I thought they were called loot boxes, but then everyone started using that to refer to like the stuff in like, you know, online games that people don't like. You know the services where like that where they send you like a box of a bunch of stuff.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, and that Star Wars video game, it made people buy loot boxes, not the physical type, but the electronic type, because that was the only way you could unlock Darth Vader, and people got really mad.
Yeah, well, I think it was the only way you could plausibly, because otherwise it was like grinding a bunch of stuff. Okay, I think it's weird because I kept hearing all these ones. The physical ones I'm talking about are apparently called subscription boxes. They're like the thing that the company Loot Crate does, and and of course, which, and they basically don't think have any real similarity with the loot boxes that people talked about in the Star Wars thing, but they sound so similar. When I initially heard about that, like people were talking about loot boxes, and they were saying, "Oh, it's gambling," and I was like, "Well, sure, you don't know for sure what you'll get, but doesn't everyone get the same thing? Isn't it just supposed to be a surprise?" And then I found out it was a totally different thing. Anyway, so Adult Swim did have one of those sort of ones, like the physical ones that they send you to, and you know that the people and that a bunch of people on YouTube have those unboxing videos of that I don't think anyone actually watches, but people still make them. So I got that.
Wait, what was it? Wait, I'm sorry. What did you do? No one actually watches them. Say that again.
I was saying, okay, I'm sure some people do watch them because they're so popular. It like the unboxing videos, you know, when people.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I mean, I'm sure some people watch them because they're so popular, but it seems everyone like I talk to is just like, just expresses absolutely no interest in watching those sort of videos. So I don't know. Maybe it's like
you should do it. You should do it. I'd watch you.
maybe it's like Nickelback, where you will never be able to find someone who says they like the band, but they still sell out concerts and like all their CDs sell really well.
Yeah.
It's like that. There's obviously people who buy them. You just can't find them. Anyway, So Adult Swim had one, and their theme for the first one was Toonami. So I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. I'll order one. The next one, though, is for Robot Chicken. I'm like, well, I'm not interested in that. Never mind. I just got the Toonami one. I just kind of figured I might as well say what was in it in case anyone was wondering.
Yeah.
It had this kind of cool little sort of thing. I don't know exactly what they're called, but you know, like this sort of when you have something that's sort of encased in the sort of like glass thing, they had one of those things for like Sarah. That was kind of cool. There was a comic that it had this kind of cool miniature flashlight. There's a pen, which apparently is a special kind of pen that it mentions can perform in temperatures from -30 Fahrenheit to 250 Fahrenheit underwater and in zero gravity. And apparently astronauts actually use them. There was a sort of there was this kind of cool carrying bag. There's like a T-shirt, this Toonami cup, and I think that was the stuff that was in it. So based on this and a one that I once did get something from Loot Crate, and I kind of have concluded I'm not really the kind of person that this stuff is like aimed for. But if anyone was potentially interested in those, that was the stuff that was in it. So
yeah, this doesn't sound like too much Toonami stuff, though.
Well, like I mean, know? like the mug had like Toonami on it. The T-shirt did. Oh. The bag did. It was like mostly the pen and the flashlight that were just kind of non-Toonami. The rest of the stuff was themed that way.
I see. Okay.
I just wanted to mention that, I guess. But of course, like I said, the next one is Robot Chicken, and I don't know when they'll actually come back to Toonami, so might not necessarily be that useful in the future. Maybe it's still possible to buy it, but maybe not. I don't know. So there was that. I guess on something. Like I said, I mean, I'm sure someone who likes these sort of things and is a fan of Toonami would probably really like this. I've just kind of realized that I'm just not that interested in these sort of subscription box things, but hey, you know, still has got some kind of interesting stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with Toonami, but I guess I might as well. Now I'll talk about it. I checked out that new, I don't know if you've heard of it. Have you heard of Cuphead, the video game?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Oh, well, I got it. It's actually really fun. It's a pretty hard game, like everyone will tell you. But it's hard. It's not hard in, like, you know, the impossible way. It's the kind that you just got to practice against the enemies enough, and then you'll be able to get through them. It's basically a sort of run and gun game, as they say, as like, you know, Contra was,
mm-hmm.
except it's mostly based around a bunch of bosses you have to fight. And the whole thing has the aesthetic like of an old 1930 or 1940 cartoon. All the animation in this game was actually hand animated to try to make sure it looked that way. It's got a really good, cool look to it. And I did think it was a lot of fun. But But like I said, it is a hard one. I don't want to say that in a way that, like, to put people off. It's not like, you know, this is the hardest thing ever, because, I mean, I beat it. That means something. But it is a game, like, you know, if you're not already, like, a gamer, this isn't a game really for you. That's basically it. It's not for the casuals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was fun. I do recommend it. Just one word of warning. You know how, like, people say, you know, how you can't take just one more potato chip? It is really hard to not just I'll just try this boss one more time. Except because then you'll try it again and again and again. Don't play this game while, while you're on your break, because your break will probably go 10 minutes over as a result.
You know, I've discovered that as a video game player, I've developed into a person who just likes bite-sized type of video game play. Like sports games are perfect for that, because you play a sports game, you play a game for a half hour, and then you put it away. And that's kind of what I like to do. Most people are more into playing, you know, continuously at something. I'm the type of person who only wants just a brief little thing of it, and then that's it. So side-scrolling is also a good thing, because you just play a level, and then once it's over, you know, then you can save and quit. So that's what I basically am as a gamer.
Okay, you might like this game then, because like each boss, if you actually manage to beat it, it doesn't take that long. It's just that it takes a lot of tries to be able to beat it. Each one is like generally only like each fight ultimately is just a few minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you're curious, you can like look it up on online. There's a lot of videos on YouTube on it if you want to see what it looks. I do recommend it. I think it's a pretty good game. I just wanted to mention all of that stuff. And also, part of the reason this episode came late was because I kind of got behind in watching this stuff because I was playing the game, which I guess is kind of an endorsement of it in that way. All right. So I guess that would be everything.
Yeah. And as we sign off for this week, it's only appropriate to note that I will be going straight from this podcast to the bathroom. So there you have it.
Okay. Well, I was going to give like our usual spiel of stuff. You know, you can find him on ToonamiFairDB.podbean.com or TommyAPhillips.com, which I guess I just did, but I can't really top that. So that's where we're going to end this. You know, I isn't this our second episode of this year, number two?
Yes, it is. Oh man. So that's the episode.
That's the episode.